Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Happy Salmon Meadows.
Kevin Kingsburg Delp.
Melissa Mansions of Madness Delp.
Ryan Power Grid Pills.
Ooh!
And Dan, the legendary journeyman.
Oh, you guys did so much better than me.
It's okay.
Shaking up the intro is always fun, as is playing lots of board games, which is what we have been doing. I had a busy week. I played, I think, more games this week than I have in a long time.
Very cool. You had some friends over.
Had a little game night, got a bunch of new games to the table, and then tonight we played a couple as well. What was some of the fun stuff you guys got to try this weekend or tonight? Anything cool standing out? Nope, apparently not.
Well, we've started a new ritual in our house of a family game night on Sunday nights. So our two oldest get to pick a game each that they want to play, and then my wife and I pick a game out that we play after the kids go to bed. So that's been a lot of fun to kind of go through. And my wife has repeatedly said, we can pick any game on the shelf. So
It's working.
I've been kind and said, okay, I'm not even going to try these games because she's not into some massive war game. But we pulled out In a Flash Firefighters by Haba last night, and then an old classic Chinese checkers, and had a lot of fun with that.
You gotta get the classics out every once in a while.
Yeah.
You kind of forget how good the games you grew up on are.
Oh, yeah.
One of the games that I played this week that I think you guys should try, maybe I'll even let you borrow it, is The Game Face to Face from Pandasaurus. Have you played the game?
So how's this different?
So this one is only two players, and it's versus instead of co-op. All the other rules work the same way. You have two stacks. Well, in this one, you have two stacks that are yours. One's going up and one's going down, and your opponent has the same. You have to play at least two cards on your turn. When you play them, though, you can play one on your own, and then you may play one on your opponent's deck.
Ooh.
But it has to help them out. So it has to go like the opposite direction of where they're supposed to be playing. So on their 0 to 60 deck, if they're at like 50, they're going down to 1. You could play a 55 and help pull them back a little bit.
Okay.
Gets the card out of your hand, which is great, but it also gives them a wider range of cards that they can play on their turn. So a nice little balance between like how many cards do I want to get out of my hand versus how close is he getting. Basically, whoever is able to play all their cards first wins. If you get to a turn where you can't play a card, then you lose. And then it has the same normal rule where if you're 10 exactly back or whatever, you can go the opposite direction on your deck to help yourself out. And then the only other real rule is when you play cards on your hand, you have to play two. You can play as many as you want. And if you play them only on your own deck, you only draw two cards. But if you play a card onto your opponent's deck, then you draw your hand back up to 6. Hmm. So sometimes you get down to just one or two cards and you're like, oh man, this card would super help him out and pull his deck back like 30. But I need more cards in my hand, or I can only play on his hand. It was enjoyable. I played it like 3 or 4 times now, and I will definitely continue to because it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Now, is this the one where you're not supposed to talk?
That's the mind.
Okay, the mind. So this one you can talk.
You may, yes. Okay. Although you don't want to help them out, so you really don't want to talk because this is a competitive one.
Cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
I will say we need to tell our audience what they're going to hear about in today's episode.
Oh, we forgot to give the rundown.
The rundown. So I know that we have an interview with special guest Kevin Burkhardsmeyer, otherwise known as Berkey with Game Toppers. We also will be talking about our topic of this podcast, which is our favorite games from the last decade. And Ryan can explain to us why the decade runs from a certain date to a certain date at that time. Is that true, Ryan?
Yes.
Good. All right. And then are we doing an
after... He'll explain that at a later time, however.
Yes. Are we doing an after credits with some...
Ooh, I did watch some shows.
Okay. So we'll do some spoiler stuff on shows like Falcon and Winter Soldier, maybe some Game Changers, and some other stuffs. So, awesome.
That sounds good.
I love it. Sounds real good.
Back to games we've been playing, though. Melissa and I have been playing a couple... one campaign game and another scenario-based game. The campaign game Pandemic Legacy Season Zero.
I'm jealous.
Are you? So you've played, has everyone here played Season One?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Season One was like one of my first Legacy games that was just like an amazing Legacy game.
Yeah.
Even though I don't like the Pandemic mechanic. Like, I personally don't like Pandemic.
Okay.
Regular Pandemic.
Pandemic Legacy. Whoa, this is an amazing storyline. Pandemic Legacy Season Zero goes back to the Cold War, and I love what's going on because you aren't doing the pandemic regular, like exploding cubes and all that kind of stuff. There's different things going on in the story.
Yeah, basically there are, without, we'll try not to get spoilery, we're in about July, I think we just finished July, but the main mechanism...
There's months? I'm just kidding, that's not a spoiler.
There are agents out on the board and kind of like regular Pandemic and Season One, you're pulling the cards to figure out where these agents are going. But when you replace your fourth agent, instead of it outbreaking into other cities, you draw the bottom card of the deck and it's going to have
random text.
Random text of something potentially bad that happens. Sometimes it's really bad for you, and other times it's like, do this in this region if such and such. And we're like, yay, we don't have such and such, so nothing happens.
And sometimes it's like, oh, we do.
Game over.
Bad. So it's like, it could be okay, it might be really bad, or it might be medium. So I like that in like this game, it's a little bit more like a surprise.
Reactionary.
Whereas in the past Pandemic games, even Pandemic Legacy Season 1, you know, oh, well, that's going to explode, that explodes, that explodes. Like, it's just like, oh, you sort of know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you can tell in a turn or two we're going to lose.
Yeah, this one you're like, oh, well, we may, if we
got a chance.
Yeah, if this incident happens, we might still be able to beat the game.
You guys haven't finished it yet.
No, we're in July.
So this isn't a spoiler for me to hypothesize. Is this a prequel? Like, is this going to lead to a virus outbreak? Is that what you're anticipating?
There are still viruses involved.
Okay.
But this is pre-Pandemic Legacy Season 1, so it could be the start of it all.
It could be.
It could be.
One of the other interesting things, you have this passport with three different aliases.
Oh, yeah, it's cool.
And so at the beginning, you're creating one alias, and they even have little stickers that you can put on them.
Legacy,
so you can give them like hair or disguises. And so you're building up that alias.
With special powers throughout the game.
So kind of like Season 1, where you have they call them assets in this one, but the benefits that you're putting on at the end of the game,
relationships and stuff like that. Okay.
So you're getting to customize your characters.
But there's like Cold War era, so one of the players has a gunbrella that can kill two agents in a city instead of one. So it's pretty thematic on that end, which is kind of fun. But then you're also building other aliases because your passport has three different aliases that you're trying to be. And then when you're in a safe house, you can change aliases. So what's special is like, oh, I need
that
to.
That is a spoiler.
We got one out. Kevin got too excited.
Sorry.
But you don't know when.
That's right. You don't know when. But
Safe house is.
Yeah.
One of the other games that I got to play this week is the new Aldabas from Grand Gamers Guild. I think this is it coming to Kickstarter?
It is coming to Kickstarter.
I had an opportunity to check this one out. Maybe I should talk about it during the Kickstarter thing, although I guess it's not on Kickstarter right now.
Right now.
I
just early, do it now.
Ahead of opportunity thing. The title for the game is like the fancy word for door knockers.
That's what I was like, is this something to do with doors?
It is. So in the game, you have multiple players can play it. I don't know what the player count is. Looks like it's 2 to 4. You've got a central shop board that has all your doors on it, and those will, as everybody takes a turn, cards will be eliminated, and they'll shuffle down and become cheaper, you know, the longer that they've been out there. You have like three actions you can do on a turn. You can either just get money from the bank that you're going to be using to buy these doors. You can buy the doors, or you can put them into your block, basically your neighborhood, which is a 12-ish square tableau, basically, of cards that you're building. And the game has different suits, I guess. Some of them are like fishermen. Some of them are elites. And they have a different symbol in the corner. All the cards also have a different color. And so when you're laying the cards in your tableau, you can't have any cards that are the same color adjacent to each other. So you might be able to get all fishermen or whatever, but they would have different color doors. And then each card has an action that you can take when you draw it. And at the end of the game, basically whoever has the most influence for each suit is going to win points. And then you're also going to resolve all the actions at the end of the game. A lot of the cards have end game triggers on them as well. It was really neat. I felt like as we were playing the game, it's the type of game where you got to play it two or three times to like build your strategy, because the first time you're just like, oh, this door fits here, I'm going to take it. But a lot of the cards' actions kind of chain together, and so you might be able to steal some coins from this guy and then lock. You also have a vault where you can safely keep your coins, but you have to take an action to get them from your purse into your vault. So lots of fun options as you are building it through. I think there were some different rule variants for different player counts. I played a two-player game of it and definitely want to try to get it back to the table again, see what it feels like at a couple other player counts. But I enjoyed the brightness of the color style to it. All the doors have different
cool
knocker illustrations. Yeah, and it was just a fun... I mean, it could almost be an abstract strategy game. The doors don't really have like huge amounts of theme going on with them. But... overall, really enjoyed the experience, and I'll be looking forward to seeing this one on Kickstarter pretty soon.
Speaking of Kickstarter, we should jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Let's do it.
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode, we're going to be talking about six games coming to Kickstarter the next couple weeks. Melissa, why don't you start us off with your game?
So Renegade Game Studios is bringing My Father's Work from T.C. Petty III. And this is coming to Kickstarter soon, the end of April, April 27th. This is basically a worker placement game, but there is a lot going on. You are playing as an heir to your father's estate, and your father happened to be a mad scientist. So think kind of gothic novel Frankenstein-esque world.
You're sucking me in. You're pulling me in.
You
keep
begin
going.
The game with a master invention that you're going to try to complete by the end of three generations. So each generation is going to be several rounds. But at the end of the generation, basically you have passed on and your children are starting over with the stuff that you've been able to collect for them. And you're going to lose all of your resources and things that you didn't use. And you only have a few things that you can store from generation
basically
to generation.
Basically what they inherit.
Your whole life insurance policy that you pass on to your children. I have another podcast about that you should listen to.
So you're trying to complete these experiments. It's worker placement. You have these miniatures. One is yourself, one is your spouse, and then you have some servants and a caretaker, and they can go out to town or take actions in your own estate. This is a narrative story, and it uses an app that is going to direct choices throughout the game. Decisions you make from generation to generation are going to change what happens during the game.
Yeah, not only for the game itself that affects all players, but also decisions that may affect just your generation that the app will know, because at the beginning of the game, you're inputting your name, all the players' names in the app. So throughout the game, it'll be like, this affects Kevin.
Does it say your name or does it just pop up?
What?
So smart. Games are so smart.
Yeah, there's stuff that is going to be for everyone, and then it'll say, pass the device to Kevin, and then he'll read something personal to him.
And sometimes you read it out loud, and sometimes it's personal, that's private. You can also name your town, so we named ours Tantrumville.
Perfect, as you should.
It was poor Tantrumville.
Poor Tantrumville.
Oh, no.
We should have
not
built,
a good decision.
I'm not going to spoil it, but we should have built a building, but we built a different building because the mayor gets to choose. Like, you have to bid for mayor at a certain time, and the mayor then gets to choose what building was going to be built at that time. We chose poorly.
So it's a branching story, and the designer, we talked a little bit with him, and he said that there's 8 unique paths that you can go on in the scenario. So the game, we were given one scenario. We played it, and hopefully there will be more scenarios in the Kickstarter as stretch goals.
Some of the stretch goals are going to include 2 new like boxes that will include 8 more branching paths.
So anyway, you have this flip book that becomes the worker placement village. And at the beginning, it's turn to page 1. And then based on your choices, it may say, we'll turn to page 5. And that will be different, and there'll be a different set of locations for that path than if you turn to page 4. So
which will then, every generation, change what that town looks like, which is pretty cool.
Love it. Interesting.
So, yeah, there was a lot of text. We had a prototype version of the app, so it was just text, but they're planning to have, you know, voices that read and images and things like that and make it much more immersive.
A couple things about the Kickstarter itself. Is this going to be a deluxified already, like the base game is going to be deluxified. Metal coins are going to be part of the base game. These like different components in the game, these gears, they're all going to be deluxified immediately. It's not going to be like a retail version and a deluxe version. It's all going to be like one version. And this is definitely a, like Melissa was saying, this narrative story is definitely a 2 to 3 hour game, but you can replay it multiple times.
And it is competitive. So even though the story is based on the choices kind of collectively that you make, it is a competitive game. You're trying to have the most points. So you're gaining resources to complete experiments that then will give you points and make your creepy factor go up and your insanity.
Yeah, because you're becoming mad just like your fathers before you.
Now, how many generations did you say?
You're going over 3 generations.
3 generations.
So you have your junior and your third.
Is that like I don't even know what a generation is. Is that like a 150 year span? Does the timeline story, or do you stay pretty trapped in the middle?
There's 3 rounds in each generation, and they call it early, mid, and late. So it's like your early years, middle years, and later years. They don't really say, but maybe like 60-ish, 70?
Okay. Yeah, they do throw years out, and usually between generations, like 20 years have passed. So the village definitely is looking different.
Okay, cool.
So,
but that is My Father's Work, and it's coming from Renegade Game Studios. Kevin and I will have an overview video of this on our channel so you can see the components and hear a little bit more about how it plays. Ryan, what do you have?
Coming May 4th from Dead Lemon Games is Lonely Undead. In this game, you are not fighting zombies. You are someone infected by an odd green fog, and the townspeople call you Z's. So you
doesn't sound like zombies at all.
Yeah. You're roaming around, and you're lonely undead, so you want to make friends, but you don't make friends by shaking their hand. You make them by biting them.
Nice.
Makes sense. So I think I might have seen this movie. It was pretty good. It was entertaining.
The first, if you play the competitive group, the first person to get 7 bitten friends, 7 living people that you've bitten, you win. But I think if they get bit twice, so maybe your competitors can swoop in there and bite them, they die.
They die?
Oh,
man.
So, yeah, you're roaming around this map and just looking for friends.
Trying not to
bite them.
Sounds good.
There's also a cooperative and a solo mode. But it looks like it's going to be fairly similar to other map games with items that you can equip and, you know, the movement and attacking that you see in these tactical miniatures games. But throwing it on its head, in this one, you're the zombies. So we're going to get into this a little bit more because in a couple weeks, I believe, maybe when this actually comes out, goes live, you can check out the preview that we're going to do for this, Lonely Undead. Check it out. Dan, what do you got?
I am looking at Florence from Brain Crack Games. It's coming on the 21st, so it should already be live. And I think tomorrow, if you're listening to this, we are doing a playthrough. So Tuesday the 27th, we'll be doing a playthrough of Florence with the team. It is a Euro style area control game. I talked about it some last podcast. We played it again tonight, so I'm kind of curious, Kevin and Melissa.
Yeah, we get to talk about it now.
You want to toss in some things there? But you are trying to go around the city to various events and parties with your family members to gain the favor of the Medici. Each round, one Medici family member is going to move through the city and give you points based on how well you did and how much you brag. Bragging is just kind of a random variable from game to game. Different cards you place at different locations that you're trying to fulfill objectives and get points for those things. We played that tonight, and Melissa was doing quite well. Didn't quite get to finish it.
A tighter at the end of round six.
Yes.
But then I jumped ahead again.
You did?
Yeah, yes. By like 2 points.
Oh. You probably didn't count some of my points.
Probably. I wonder, though, if I took more of the sprinting where I got a lot of points at the beginning, but I don't know how well I was set up for late game.
How many player or pawns did you have out at the board? Did you have most of them out?
I had all of my debutantes but one.
Mm-hmm.
But I only had one of my...
Donnas. I had all my debutantes out. And I think I had four Donnas in the...
Three.
Yeah. So I had two of my three. And I was actually debating on should I get my...
The Maestro
out in that round.
Yeah, so the area control is chronological as you go to these different places. But then if you upgrade to the Donnas or then to the Maestros, they take seniority over who was there first. So that's kind of how you're balancing that area control. I enjoyed it. There's a lot of variability with... where the Medici family members are going to go, even from game to game, because that's randomly generated. But one thing I really liked is knowing that, okay, in three rounds, this guy's going to move here. I feel like they could have done...
I like that a lot.
They could have done the mechanic where it's like, oh, new round. Oh, hey, the family member's moving to space five. And now you have to react to try and account for that. But this gives you that foresight to know what the next three rounds are going to look like. And so it's this balance of, do I load up on this round right now, or do I try and spread out for all three?
Or do you just guess like I did and just happen to
pick
one that just happens to be revealed for the fourth round?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I enjoy that there's many different ways of scoring as well. Not only through where the Medici family is going, but also the different zones or towns or whatever on the board. There are also different ways of scoring. Jonah really was going after the cards. Did you have a lot of cards too, Dan?
I had a few.
It seemed like Jonah was really going after cards, and he was playing them on as actions that give you sort of special power, special bonuses. They still cost time.
Right.
I do like the use of time in the game, although it feels like you're really spending a lot of time putting the pieces out, and then you can start moving them around.
Yeah.
I think in later rounds, it probably shifts to moving people as opposed to putting out new people.
Yeah, because you don't pull your people back.
Right. So I do like that.
When you play them out there, they're on the board, and then you have to try and move them through the game. So I think Melissa's right. Those last three rounds, it's going to be a lot more moving and trying to get things in place there.
Cool.
And it also, Jonah was pointing out, there's a passing mechanic where you can choose to pass. And a lot of times that's just like, well, I'm done for the round and sit back and kind of relax. But this almost rewards you for passing early.
And I did it once at the very beginning of the round just for fun.
But then if it keeps coming back to your turn, you get to do an action or gain more time or gain a point, stuff like that. So pretty neat game. Florence, that should be live right now. And check out the playthrough.
Definitely.
On Tuesday. Will, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at the new game from Alley Cat Games called Dice Theme Park. It looks like it's maybe like I'm going to make up words that aren't really true, but a spiritual successor to Dice Hospital.
Oh, it's definitely in the same universe.
Yeah, absolutely. In this game, which is coming from designer Adrian Adamescu and Daryl Andrews this time, same illustrator as last time, Sabrina Merriman, but new designers. It's going to feature, it sounds like a similar mechanic to what's going on in Dice Hospital. So if you're familiar with that game, it's a dice manipulation game where where you are in that game, you have hospital patients who are sick and you're trying to make sure they don't die and they lose a number each round. You got to keep them healthy. In this one, you're actually enjoying building, having guests come and visit your theme park. And so you'll be buying hex tiles that will give you new rides and attractions and things for people to come see. And then the dice in the game are the guests who are enjoying the rides. You want to keep them in the park as long as you can. When they get down, they'll be, the dice will be manipulated throughout the game. And when they get down to one, then they leave your park and you lose their attendance inside your park. So trying to keep them happy and satisfied and having fun. It looks like a pretty interesting game. It's a 1-4 player game. If it ends up being anything like Dice Hospital, that game had some pretty neat components in it where you had like these ambulances that held your dice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm kind of imagining, I didn't actually see component pictures, but like you got to have a roller coaster car with dice in it. Like that has to be a thing. If it's not, add it as a stretch goal now if you're listening to this. But yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. Dice theme park. It looks like it's about an hour and a half game. So decent. It's got a 3-point weight on BGG, and looks like a lot of fun. I would definitely be interested in trying this one out because I enjoyed Dice Hospital thoroughly. Kevin, do you have another one to look at as well?
I do. This is coming from Floodgate Games. The game is called Vivid Memories. It's a drafting abstract strategy game for 2-4 players, and it plays in about a half hour, designed by Matthew Dunstan and Brett J. Gilbert. This game is all about collecting fragment pieces and trying to score points. Vivid Memories, you are collecting memory fragments and putting them in your, basically, brain.
Yes, the board is a brain, but it's not a like gross-looking brain.
Not a gross brain. Your board, you are placing these colored fragments, like pinks and yellows and greens and blues, and placing them in the different hexes on your brain. And you're trying to basically make routes from one side of your brain to another side of your brain and connecting the colors. The game's played over 3 rounds, and each round is a couple different phases. One of them is basically placing the different fragments sort of like Azul-like in the different in the middle of the play area, and then players will be drafting those throughout the game or throughout that round, getting the fragment colors and then placing them in their brain. And then at the end of the round, there's basically an action time where you can take actions to move these fragments around and get new fragments. And you're basically trying to create memories. And these memory fragments, you're getting new cards that actually overlay some of your actions, which I think is cool. And sometimes not cool if you're trying to do a certain action, certain base action, but you have to cover it up. So I do like that part. You are also, what's the goal, your end game goal card?
Your aspiration.
Yes, you have an aspiration, then you're going to get lots of points if you can get that certain color, whether it's fragments or whether it's these memory cards that are that match that color. So I like that.
Yeah, I was going to say the memory tiles that you're potentially collecting throughout the game also give you patterns that you're trying to make in the hexes. Mm-hmm. So you're not only scoring basically routes of the same color, but also for getting certain combinations together. And sometimes doing one will disrupt the other.
Yeah. I do like the art is, I believe, from Andrew Bosley, and very, very cool, beautiful, vibrant art. It does have that vivid memory. The theme, I think, comes through a lot in the artwork. The some of the cards, the memory cards, the one side will be this kid like riding his bike, but his memory, the other side of the memory card is like him bobsledding. Like it's like his, like,
I thought you were gonna say he crashed.
No, it's like it's like his, what is
it's
like,
imagination.
His imagination comes out. Gotcha. So it could be like here flying a kite, but in like the imagination is big dragons in the sky or something, things like that. So
okay,
I do like the looking at what the kids' imaginations are.
Very whimsical, lots of fun.
Yeah. Ryan, you have one more?
Yeah. Coming April 27th from, I believe it's from Colossal, is Lost Empires, War for the New Sun.
It is Colossal, yeah.
Yeah. And that's coming April 27th. No, okay. we also have a video coming out about this one. It is a dueling game. It's for 2 people. It's card dueling. You basically set up your own deck. There's 4 factions, and your deck has to be all the same faction, so far at least. And so you'll pick a faction, and then you'll pick a combination of 9 cards, and for each of the 9 cards you get two cards of each individual card. I don't know how I'm saying it weird.
Super confused right now.
Each named card, you get 9 of them.
You get some cards in the game.
Yeah, there's several to choose from. So you pick 9 pairs of cards, and then you shuffle them, and you are fighting over these bases. It's almost like a smash-out-like
thing. That's what it sounded like.
And what you do on your turn is you have a very limited pool of like action points, and you spend those to either deploy cards from your hand into like a ready area, and then, or I guess a deployed area, and then at the end of your turn, those cards go into a ready area, and then also what you can do on your turn is if you still have those action points left over because you didn't deploy cards with them, you can use those action points to give actions to your ready cards from previous turns. And I think they can move or attack or use their special action. But each card can only attack once. I think you can only activate... No, that's not right. So each card can only attack once on your turn. So it gets kind of tricky because you start out on your home base and you move to the middle bases that you're fighting over, and you're going to have to try to move and attack, and you have both an attack value, a defense value, and like a command control value, which is what you look at to see who is controlling that area. And then after everybody's taken their turns moving and attacking and deploying, you see who controls both of the outer bases and the inner base. And the outer bases each give 1 like shard or something like that, and the inner base gives 2. And every 4 shards, you have like a gate piece, and every 4 gate pieces, you build a gate, and the first person to build a gate wins. So basically, you need 16 shards. The only reason it's not just 16 shards is you can only complete 1 gate piece every round, so that it's not like someone gets 8 all at once and, you know, shoots ahead or something.
So are you teaching this to me on Wednesday? Because this definitely sounds like...
Yeah, let's bring it. We'll do it.
Dueling card games right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, we can try it out. I mean, I've already tried it, but you can try it out. Yeah, I'd love to show it to you. So that is Lost Empires, War for the New Sun. It is a lot of fun. And I think you might enjoy checking it out in our preview video.
Tune in next week to find out who won, Dan or Brian.
That's right.
It's 2 weeks, I guess. All right. I know you guys are ready to talk about our top 10, not top 10, but our favorite games from the decades. But before we do that, we do want to welcome our house guest to the house, Kevin Berkey. Berkey, let's just go with Berkey to the house. Welcome to the house, man.
Hey. Berkey is so much easier than Burkhardsmeyer, right?
Yeah, 100%. It threw me off. I couldn't even get it out.
Well, I tell people if they can say it correctly 3 times fast, they win a prize.
Whoa.
Burkhardsmeyer, Burkhardsmeyer, Burkhardsmeyer?
Ooh.
Well, whoa. Pretty good. You can get a job in telemarketing.
Maybe he already has.
Berkey, thanks so much for joining us. We are thrilled about your Kickstarter coming up tomorrow. We are big fans of the Game Topper system, and we are delighted to see some of the new stuff that's coming to the table, literally. Tell us a little bit about, give us a little run through on your history of how you got to this point, because it's been an exciting adventure just to get to this point.
Yeah, it's so cool. I mean, you think back, we started in 2016 when I had the idea. It took me about a year to cogitate all of that stuff, you know, and figure out whether I wanted to do it.
That's
and
a big
then all
word.
Of a sudden, I built a couple prototypes. My daughters have a house. They live about an hour from us. Both of my older daughters have married, and I'd go up there every other week to play games with them. And so I built a prototype out of wood. I'm a craftsman. And the first one was pretty bad, honestly. It had great big honking hinge in the middle of it, and it kind of sucked. Had a piece of carpet, you know, for a game mat. No cup holders, you know, boring. But then 1. I made the next one. It was a little better. And all of a sudden I thought, I think I got an idea that people would like.
awesome. Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I enjoy so much about it is the fact that it is something I can fit in my car. We do community game nights once a month, and I always bring my topper with me because it just adds a whole nother level of finesse to the game night. Everybody else is playing on, you know, folding tables and whatever, and I'm over here with my little game topper.
Well, and you know, at Tantrum House Studios, I mean, you have several toppers. You've got the rail kits where you can convert half of your big topper into a mini topper. So you've got all these crazy versatility going on where you can go to this show or film over here and do all kinds of fun stuff.
That's what we do. It's great. We really love not only the portability, but just the presence of it that everyone flocks to see. And the game mats, like you were saying, the game mats that are available now are just really, really cool.
I've gotten nicer and nicer. Yeah.
Nicer and nicer. Yes. Yeah. We appreciate the Tantrum House game mats that we get to show off
in the
ones.
Studio.
They're pretty cool.
So tell us a little bit, give us a sneak peek what is going to be coming tomorrow at noon with this next 3.0.
Well, it's, you know, like we were talking about from its inception to continue to get better and better at what we're doing. You know, like on our last Kickstarter, we offered some new walnut upgrades. Like you have that walnut Holmes
inlay. Yes.
Will might have that one.
Will does have it.
It's gorgeous though, right? That premium walnut. And we had the Viking mat, which became our number one seller from Jaroslav Radecki, who did Reavers of Midgard. But we took it up a couple more notches on Kickstarter 3.0.
How's it even possible?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Tell us, Berkey. Tell us how this happens.
Just drop the mic. We need more.
I'm the Emeril Lagasse of board games.
There we go.
Cooking up a storm in board game studio. So board game toppers. All right. Well, basically what we're doing is we have continued to innovate with our military grade aluminum rail. Last Kickstarter, we made a new mold that incorporated a screw channel underneath the rails. This allows us to add a corner bracket that is a steel corner bracket already reinforcing the already, you guys can attest, these things are solid, right?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Okay, well, for now this corner bracket allows us to put on full-blown legs.
What?
Okay. It's not a topper anymore. It's the game table.
Wait. I remember Will creating this game.
Do I get credit for this?
Game bottomers. Do you remember this April Fool's joke from a couple years ago?
I do remember the game bottomers.
Check that one out on YouTube, y'all.
That is great. So it's, now
it's
you are creating
with all three views.
That's right. I know. A lot of people.
game legs. This is great. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, the leg kits, basically, they screw in so you can still use it as a game topper on top of your kitchen table. But if you want to have it portable to take to game night, you can bring your own legs. If you're going to a convention and you've got a spot where you can all of a sudden you just set that baby up, it'll fit right in the storage bag. If the leg kit by itself actually allows you to, you just need the basic leg kit with the four legs, four brackets for our Adler, Lestrade, and Hudson models. But then we went another step for our larger toppers, the Watson and the Holmes, where we have a center support bracket. It took us a little over a year to get this manufactured, get it affordable, and it's worked brilliantly. The first time we got our third prototype, I said, okay, this is how we're testing it. And I jumped my great big barge right up on top of that table.
and didn't even collapse. We're good to go.
Not a lick. It just performed brilliantly. They you don't know they're there. They're clean. It's a nice look. They have levelers on the bottom of the foot. So
cool.
Really nice thing. And they're starting at $99. So we were able to do something. It's not always about whether you can do it. So can you do it affordably so it makes sense?
Sure. Yeah. I'm impressed that you can get that support system in the middle because, I mean, those tables are pretty long.
Wide,
they're 72 inches, right, for the Holmes?
Correct.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's a pretty good-sized steel, bended steel apparatus that actually locks into the rails on the ends, and then there's two cross supports. You'll see pictures on the Kickstarter and some videos. One of the other things that we've done that's super cool is we've added a new dining cover solution. So this is same MDF powder-coated black material, just like in our mat racks.
Okay.
It's a high quality but cost effective solution. It actually looks beautiful. It matches the powder coated black aluminum. It has nice rounded edges, and we have those for the Sherlock Holmes and the Watson models. So that's pretty cool. But then one of the big things about Game Toppers is it's upgrading your gaming experience. So right. What we want to do is, how do we upgrade every game you play? Well, the
that
experience
is a big question.
Has a lot to do with our gaming mats, right?
Right.
We have spared no expense in the process that we make our mats, the printing. People don't even know half the story of what we do on these mats, but they're 3mm premium stitched edge. The mats set for a full week before we cut them, so we can get custom size mats that actually fit our product and aren't just all over the gambit. The print quality is so amazing. When you see it, I mean, it picks up the slightest of details. So this year, we spared no expense again hiring some of the industry's best board game artists.
I've seen some of these pictures, and I'm excited for you to share with the audience about these new game mats, Berkey. Really, really, I am.
Kevin may have already been drooling. Kevin Delp may have already been drooling last week on our podcast as yes. We talked about some of the artists.
Okay. Cool. Well, you know, first off, I'd just like to give a lot of kudos to Jarosław Radecki. He's a Polish art professor. He's done the artwork for Reavers of Midgard and After the Empire. He's a brilliant artist. He does mostly medieval and fantasy. He did our fantasy mat, our Viking mat, our scythe-inspired resource mat.
That's one of my current favorite ones, yes. The scythe one, yes.
That's what I have right in front of me here in the studio. It's gorgeous, yep. Right? Arcane Wonders came out with a game called Foundations of Rome by Emerson Manzoni.
Oh, yeah. That was about a year and a half ago, I think, right? January 2020.
A little over a year, yep. And they're fulfilling in this fall, but Arcane Wonders liked the quality of our mats so much. They said, Berkey, would you be willing to make the mats for us? And I said, yeah, but how about this? I hire my artist. We'll use the inspiration of Foundations of Rome. And we'll make that so we can offer it to your backers in a 3-foot by 5-foot size. And then we'll make it in all of our other sizes.
Oh, that's cool.
So we did that. The samples are here. I can't stop looking at it. It's so we just played over my birthday with my daughter. Maddie is on my birthday. We played Concordia and Tribune on it.
Mm-hmm. Great games.
Just perfect. It was so...
Wait, I have a question, Berkey. Did it upgrade the gaming experience?
Did it?
Yeah. Boy, right?
It had to.
It's like,
no way it didn't.
It's just another notch. That's what this is about. This is about fun, and the little things do make a difference, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So one of my biggest things I was drooling over last week was the pictures that I saw from one of my favorite illustrators in the industry, Vincent Dutre. Please share with us about that one.
Vincent, what a guy. The man lives in Korea, for those that don't know, and he also actually paints on canvas and then digitally gets the information. So
it's
not
amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. What a gentle, fantastic experience working with him. Love the guy to death.
That's great to hear.
I did the initial drawing of the mat and then asked him to, I want you to bring your experience to it and the hobby, the culture, everything. And we designed this new mat called the Great Wall, which is this beautiful ancient Asia feeling of a mat. And the art from Vincent. This is another one. The other day we played Dragon Castle, the Simon edition.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah. I remember a couple of years ago we were playing Mission Red Planet and we had it set up on our adventure mat. It's a gorgeous mat, but it just didn't feel right. And I said, well, let's put it away and let's put the space mat. You know, we had to tear it all down, put the space mat, put it all back up. But we did it. And afterwards, everybody at the table went, I'm so glad we did that. That's so much better.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's just those little things, you know. And so you play a Roman theme game and you play on the Rome mat, you play a Viking theme on that. Or if you've got an Asian theme game that it's so beautiful too. You just want to hang it on the wall.
Right. That's what we need. That hint, hint. Next thing you need to do is like wall mounted hanging mats. No. And you can use it as art and then swap them out all over your game.
That's funny. That's funny.
That'd be amazing.
Well, and last Kickstarter, we did something really cool. We made two really beautiful mat racks. One was called the JJ Burkton. One was called the Lord Burkton. That was from the video series that we did last year. That was kind of fun with, Mark Streed from the Dice Tower and
Eric Sommer.
We cut Eric Sommer voiced over and was.
Yep, I remember that. It was a fun video. Yep.
Yeah, it was fun. A whole bunch of clues and well, one couple of the characters were JJ Burkton and Lord Burkton. So we made this big 6-hole mat rack with two metal cross supports that allow you to drape your smaller mats.
That's
so
important.
That's really neat for because we're all getting so many mats, right? Most of our backers, they'll have 8 and 10 of our mats. They love these things. Well, we're doing some mat bundles on the Kickstarter, a way for us to reward our backers with loyalty pricing.
Oh, cool.
Really neat the way we're doing. Our prices are really good the way they are with the quality, the really nice stitch mat bags that have the clear window and the shoulder straps and the end hangers. They're a real premium mat storage bag. But we wanted to do something special to reward our existing backers. So what I did is I sacrificed some margin and put together a double mat bundle where you get two mat bags free, plus you get reduced shipping. You also save a little bit of money by buying two. So overall, you save about $50. But then, wait, there's more.
Wait, there's more.
Bam! So we did a JJ Burkton mat bundle where you get the rack and 4 mats. You essentially get the mat rack for free, and it's a $150 rack.
Yeah, those are very cool racks.
And then the Lord Burkton, we did a big 6-pack. Last year, we had people ask us if they could do a dozen. And I said, I don't know who's going to do that, but but we're going to unlock a stretch goal. If we hit some big numbers, I'm going to make that so attractive that, you know, it's a no-brainer for those that want to get a bunch of mats.
To get a dozen. That's incredible. That's super cool. So you guys are going live with the campaign tomorrow. Yep. Tell us where we can see everything. I mean, obviously, it'll be on the page. Give us a quick rundown of what people need to know in order to be able to get their Game Topper system ordered.
Well, you can jump
tomorrow.
In. There's a couple things that are kind of unheard of in Kickstarter world. We have our Holmesian theme going throughout the whole Kickstarter. I hope people really enjoy it. Put a lot of energy into that. But we're offering early fulfillment for Wave 1 backers. And the reason we have some existing product, aluminum, floor material, corner brackets, all these things from our first Kickstarter that we've commissioned our manufacturer to make ahead of time. And it's a limited amount of quantity. There's only a couple hundred units that we can do, but we're going to turn those babies around and be delivering them as soon as July, August.
Oh, wow. That's super quick.
And that's going to be with some of the new mats. That's going to be with most of our collapsible cup holder accessories, our dice tower systems, a lot of all the other fun things. And then the next fulfillment is going to come right on the heels of that in October, November. So that even as far as Kickstarters go, we've been working on this for over a year. And COVID hit and it messed everything up because this would have been last year, you know, that we would have probably done this Kickstarter. But we wanted to make sure we were ready. And now after delivering 2 full Kickstarters, even to Europe, we had 18 countries in Europe, Australia, New Zealand, even had 3 toppers that went over to Singapore, United Kingdom, Canada. It's given us the ability to really work out the logistics of that and make sure that we have the right capacity to do it well.
Yep, absolutely, man. I know you are one of the hardest working dudes in the industry. I super respect the quality of craftsmanship that you bring to the table. We very much enjoy your product, and we're excited to see this campaign go live tomorrow. I guess I keep saying that this will actually be historic because this episode of our podcast isn't going to launch until next week. So I'm sure at that point we'll be celebrating success and and man, best wishes to you as you go into this.
This is going to drop a little bit later, but there's a ton ton of stretch goals. So, and it's going to go 30 days. So we're going to be running till May 20th. And I'm expecting really big things. And I listen to my backers a lot too. So sometimes they've come up with some ideas that I didn't think about. And I go, well, let's see if we can, if that makes good business sense to do it. And if I can do it, I'm all there for them. So this is a, I'm pumped.
Awesome. Absolutely, man. Congratulations. We're already excited. We know it's going to be a blast and a ride.
Yeah.
You're going to be a busy guy answering all those emails, I'm sure, for the next 30 days. But we will look forward to seeing this product and hopefully to seeing you very soon. Do you have any plans to be at conventions later in this year?
Well, we hope to do some of the later conventions this year. We'll see how it all goes. But we hope to get to PAX and Origins, maybe BGGCon. We'll see what happens with all of those. But our European plans, I think, are probably on hold this year, which is unfortunate, but
yep we understand, but hopefully we'll run into you there. And man, thank you again so much for joining us on the show today.
Well, I just want to say to the whole team at Tantrum House, you guys have been big supporters since the very beginning when you bought some toppers from me way at the very beginning, and then we were able to develop a relationship, and you guys have just been wonderful to support us, and I'm very grateful and so gratified to see the growth of your channel too, because you guys just
thanks,
a great
Berkey.
Job.
Thank you, man. We appreciate that. Yep. Good talking to you.
All right. Have a great
Bye-bye.
One.
Bye-bye.
Very cool getting an opportunity to catch up. I always miss seeing his face, or always enjoy seeing his face. I don't know which one of those do you say. Always a good time to run into Berkey at conventions and different things around town, around the world.
Around the world.
All the places that I've run into him, always have a good time, always have, just has good things to catch up on. He's a super fun guy. Very excited to see his campaign already live.
Before we jump into our topic of the podcast, I want to give a big shout out to FeedSpot, who put Tantrum House on.
Who gave us a shout out.
Gave us, to the as one of the top board game YouTube channels out of like 40 of them. So.
Yeah. Number to recommended for 2021 viewing or something like that. Yeah,
so
it's pretty cool to show up on there.
Definitely check out FeedSpot and all the other people that are on that list as well.
Was a good list. All right, so talking about lists, do we have a list? What are we doing? How are we doing this? So maybe we should start with Ryan. Give us the rundown on how do you decide.
Yes, how do you decide decades?
Decades.
Yeah, so popular opinion is that
which
a decade
usually works.
Starts. I mean, like the 20s start with 1920 or 2020. And end with the 29, the 30s start with the 30. But that's wrong.
Wrong.
Well, I should say maybe the 20s do, but that specific decade starts with the number 1 and ends with the number 0 at the end.
Is this based on Greek mythology?
No, it's because
or
there's
Ryan's
no year 0.
No
if you,
year
if
0.
If you use the Gregorian calendar or whatever.
There's got to be
Anno
year
Domini,
1.
Yeah,
you
it
had
went from
to start
like,
with
1 year B.C., or BCE.
Oh, it actually makes sense.
There's like this cutoff point.
And the first decade is
with the birth of
11.
Christ. And then,
okay.
Yeah. In the year of our Lord, first year is 1. So it goes 1 BC to 1 AD. There's no year 0. So there's no first decade starting
BC
with 0.
Person.
So that's
so the
why
first
we're.
Decade is 1 through 10.
And now
then 11
you know.
Through 20.
So that's why we're
so
a
on.
Year behind everyone else. Because even though everyone else did theirs 10 through 19.
Oh, like decade videos,
yeah.
You mean?
Yeah. Okay, wow. We did, or 10, or anyway, we are doing ours 2011
That's
to
right.
2020.
Following the rules.
We're following the rules like Ryan wanted us to. So we're even though.
Don't pin this on me. I mean, you're right, but still.
Love it. So we pulled up a big list, looked at a bunch of games from the last decade, refreshed ourselves on all the amazing board games that we've had the opportunity to play in the last 10 years, which is crazy to think about. And who wants to start us off? So we're talking about 2011.
Let's do it 2011. Yeah, does anybody have any favorite games from 2011? We'll start there.
Let me pull up my cool list. That
I don't
I
have
made.
Mine by year. I just have.
Oh, I didn't start till 2012.
Well, here's the thing. I looked at the 2011 list.
I don't think decades start till.
there's some fun games like King of Tokyo and things like that.
Ooh.
But there's a game on the 2011 list that I've always wanted to play, but I never have.
It's not Dice War Chest because that didn't come out until.
Dungeon Pets.
Nope.
I have played that.
I like Dungeon Pets.
We played Dungeon Pets. Risk Legacy came out in 2011, yeah. And I would like to play that someday.
I have never played that
So
one.
Is that really like the first legacy game, basically?
Really, I think it really is the game that started the legacy games. So
interesting.
Yeah, I have bittersweet memories of it.
Did you play the whole campaign?
I had a group of friends that we really enjoyed Risk. We played it all the time. And then we got Risk Legacy. We played...
Don't tell me any spoilers.
I think 4 games. It doesn't really have a storyline. Per se. Okay. Sorry.
That's
that
was okay. A spoiler.
But you have 3 aliases that you can switch out at the safe house.
I think just like totally randomly, I won the first 2 games. I was like, this is amazing. Well, I don't want to ruin the map for everybody else. So I'll put these strongholds and stuff in like good places, but not where it'll just ruin everything. Because the map is kind of asymmetrical with Australia and everything.
Sure, I understand and how this works.
I could have won the 3rd one, but I was like, no, I shouldn't just keep dominating. So I let somebody else win the 3rd, and he destroyed the map. So we played like 2 more. It was unplayable because of what he did.
Really?
And then we've never played Risk since.
Was this the year it came out? Was this in 2011?
I think it was.
This harkens back and it makes sense now. I remember the first couple of times I played Legacy games with Ryan. Ryan, what is there a name for people like you, Ryan?
Yes. Cool people.
Cool people. Cool people like Ryan. Like when you have to rip a card, it actually like tears a small part of Ryan's soul.
Oh, yeah.
But he's come a long way. I remember like the struggle was real when we played a couple games. Ryan was like a single tear rolled down his cheek as he was like,
it's hard. Yeah.
But prefacing it with the fact that someone else ruined his Risk experience, maybe it all makes sense now.
Looking at this list of 2011, and this isn't comprehensive, but I've really come to enjoy. I discovered Kingdom Builder recently, and that's a fun game. Like that's one that's really enjoyable to just get out on the table. It's very accessible. Mm-hmm. So that's one I'd say in the last year that's jumped up on my list.
If I had to pick a game on the list that I actually have played and enjoyed, Elder Sign would probably be my top 2011 game.
That's a good game
for sure. Castles of Burgundy is also a really solid game for sure. There were several good ones in 2011.
Yeah, I like Dungeon Pets. I like Last Will. Both of those are by CGE, mm-hmm. Maybe because I've demoed them a lot, so I've gotten the rules down really well.
Last Will's fun.
Yeah.
I really enjoy Takenoko. I just find it to be really chill, building the bamboo garden and tending to those pandas.
Pandas eating those bamboos.
You know it.
Cool. 2012! One of the games that I think kind of sets the, I don't know, it's one of those quintessential games is Lords of Waterdeep.
It's on my list.
Yeah, that's my number one, solid, feel good worker placement. Definitely enjoy that one.
Have you played it with the expansion?
I believe I have. Okay, but it's been a long time.
Sure. I know.
Probably 2012. No, the expansion probably came out later.
Ryan's list for 2012.
Oh yeah.
Libertalia. Did you watch our news segment this morning?
Have you seen the news?
No, I haven't.
You need to watch the news.
As do you all at home. So if you haven't checked out.
Not chickened out.
If you haven't checked out theboardgamenews.com, Jonah and I have been doing... Where's Jonah at? I just realized I'm missing him.
We miss you, Jonah. He's here, but not here.
We've been putting out a bi-monthly news show. Kevin does a lot of the production work for it as we put together some of the hot news, newsiest news.
Oh, there you go, put it Kevin. In there. Thank you.
Items that are hitting the board game industry. And one of the things that we talked about this week is that for some secret reason, Stonemaier Games, Jamie Stegmaier, has trademarked the name Libertalia.
We don't know what that means, though.
Between two Libertalias.
Oh, now we're talking.
I don't think that would work with how the card works in Libertalia. But, okay. Any other 2012 games come to the top of your list, Dan?
Legendary? Come on. Yes. They're actually about to release their 25th expansion to the Marvel universe alone.
Wow.
And you add on all the other spin-offs they've done, like,
and it all started in 2012.
In 2012, yeah.
That's crazy.
That is.
Yeah. I really enjoy Zulkin. That's a great game. And then I'm going to try to have a complaint for every year.
Okay.
Oh, my complaint for this one is Machikoro. I love that game. I love the base game. And then
they have a legacy version.
This is pretty good.
Mr. Glass, who was part of our gaming group.
Yeah.
Yeah. He bought the expansion. And that destroyed the game for me. I hate the expansion. I don't know if anybody else feels that way.
I haven't played it, I don't think.
I feel like the expansion makes it unplayable.
I know what you're talking about.
It's a very different game.
I honestly thought you were going to say the legacy ruined it for you because that would be hilarious.
Every decade or every year.
Risk legacy. Machikoro legacy.
I feel like some expansions just add on to the game, but I think the Machikoro expansion didn't add to it.
It's the millionaire or something?
Too much.
I forget.
Big Lights or...
There's probably more than one expansion.
Yeah, I think there are with
it. But the first one that I played didn't like it.
Ryan mentioned to me a game that he hasn't played yet, which I have also not played yet, which is Mice and Mystics.
Oh.
Has anybody played that? Have you played
it? I have played it. We played a few scenarios. I think this is definitely up Ryan's alley. I think you'd enjoy it well, but I think Ryan would really enjoy it.
I think so, too. I think his joy for it would make me enjoy it. So
I am really into mice. So.
And I'm really into mystics.
Well, we have our tincture mouse that never shows.
Right.
Anyway, we have some friends that we might be able to borrow it for you, Ryan.
Oh, cool.
Sometime
might have to make that happen
future.
Pretty soon. 2013.
I didn't get to say anything on 2012.
Woo! Kevin gave me the finger roll-up symbol, move on to the...
All right, so 2012, we have Suburbia. That's a really fun game, not as fun as... one that will be coming up later from the same designer.
Yeah, I know. We all know what we're talking about.
Some notable ones.
I'm surprised Ryan didn't say Zombicide.
Yet.
Zombicide, Love Letter. 2012 is when you have Coup and Resistance Avalon. Not my types of games, but I know that there are people who love their social deduction. Yep. And there was a lot coming out in 2012.
Ryan, let's move to 2013 now.
Sure.
Ooh, I know... Well, I think I know Will's.
Do you?
2013 was a hot year, I just got to say.
Because we played it at the cabin in the woods.
Say it out loud.
Coal Baron.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Caverna.
One of my favorites. Also a top game.
Two rooms and a boom.
Right?
I haven't heard of him.
You got Sushi Go that year as well. I mean, there was Rise of Augustus is like your game, right, Ryan? 2013 was a good year.
And it's got my favorite game of all time on there.
Bang the Dice game?
No. Thanks, guys.
Lewis and Clark?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Spark number one.
Man, so many good games that year.
The original Rococo came out in 2013.
I have to admit, I've never actually seen the original. I've seen is the deluxified.
You need to go look real quick at the photo.
Is it?
It's ugly.
Super great. I can't wait. Here we go.
Not as bad as a Rio Grande.
Not that bad. Game. But it's ugly.
It's the old Rio Grande. Rio Grande's been doing
better. They've come a long
recently.
Way. We'll give them credit where credit
is due. Rio Grande has been doing better.
So while Will is looking that up, some other games.
It's just a lady with a fan, right?
Viticulture came out that year. So a lot of people love that one.
You also have Eldritch Horror, which I'm not a huge fan of, but
it's pretty popular.
I remember I played it once, and the first time we played that thing for probably 5 hours.
Wow.
And we got to the end, and my character had gotten so weak that I was just obliterated before we did anything. I was like, this was so much fun, guys. Thanks.
Wait, was that Legacy? I'm just kidding.
No.
Anything jump out at you there, Ryan?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mentioned it briefly. Firefly, the board game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It is a family tradition.
And what's the one thing you hate about 2013?
I was trying to come up with something. I guess the Pirates and Bounty Hunters expansion for Firefly, I don't like it. It's too competitive.
There we go.
Too competitive.
Yeah, it's too take that. Like, you go after each other. You never get anything done because people are constantly stealing your stuff and turning you in. Yeah.
Did you see Two Rooms and a Boom?
How many expansions does Firefly have?
Oh, I don't know.
Like 12?
Six, maybe.
Oh, it was only six? I thought it was more like
it was 12.
8 or 10 or something as well. One out of 10 ain't bad.
There's lots of, mini expansions.
Melissa has something to say.
I did want to mention Glass Road by Uwe Rosenberg. That's one that Kevin and I have, and I think it's been out of print for a while. Mm-hmm. And I heard recently that someone is going to be republishing it.
Panosaurus.
I thought it was Capstone?
Oh, it was a Capstone?
Maybe.
Oh,
I don't quite remember the publisher, but I did see recently that Glass Road is going to be reprinted soon.
Cool, cool. Keep an eye out for that one. 2014 brought another mess of fantastic games.
Mess is right.
I feel like I played more of the games.
That Cthulhu game? Trash.
Get out of here, Dan. Go to your house.
Melissa is right. It is Capstone.
Woohoo, I'm right.
Capstone.
Sorry. Back to 2014. 2014
had so many good games as well. I feel like I played more games from this, I was going to say decade, from this year, from 2014, than...
Any other year?
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like I've played a lot of these games.
Okay.
I think at least four or five games from my top 10 of all time
are from 2014.
Are from this year. At least when I made my top 10 list about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
We have Castles of Mad King Ludwig, Five Tribes, Roll for the Galaxy, Alchemist.
Mm-hmm. Splendor. Some awesome
ones. I played all of these games you have on the list. Star Wars, Imperial Assault, Five Tribes, Patchwork, Roll for the Galaxy, Legendary Encounters, Alien.
I did curate the ones that
this
I...
It's not every
list.
Game, but it
I
is
know,
a long
Alchemist,
list.
Alchemist, Star Realms, Istanbul, Dead of... We've all played Dead of Winter, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Castles, of course, Splendor, Deception, Murder, and Hong Kong. I've only played Deception, Murder, and Hong Kong once or twice.
Oh, really?
That's a fun game.
I have still not actually played Imperial Settlers.
What?
So I need to get that one on
Imperial
my list.
Imperial Settlers, yes, definitely. Sheriff of Nottingham, Cold Express. What's Cold Express, Melissa?
She makes you a list, and then you make fun of her spelling.
Oh, One Night Ultimate Werewolf, your kids, one of your kids' favorites.
Yep, yep. And then Camel Up, one of my favorites.
Yep. Yeah.
Diamonds is also a really excellent game.
Caption is Dead.
That's
Murano.
Fun. Don't Mess with Cthulhu.
One of Will's favorites. Yeah, boom. That's a good list there, Melissa.
That was a fantastic year. I feel like I could play all those games. It would take me a year.
Dead of Winter is one that I don't think I'll ever own, but I just, there's something about it that I want to play it more and I never have a chance to. And there's, I don't know, I just like the whole theme and I see it on Ryan's shelf and it's like, man, I want to play that game.
You can borrow
it. I'm too afraid to ask.
Do you have the base game or you have the long night one?
I think I just have the base game.
Okay.
Kevin had a bad experience the first game.
I rolled the tooth the very first roll, which killed my character.
Yeah, that's kind of
brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, you get multiple characters, though, right? You might as well lose one.
I think it happened twice in a row.
Well, okay, then never mind.
I actually don't know if I've ever won that game without being the traitor. And I only won as the traitor because
everyone
else
died.
Played so poorly.
It's tough. It's a tough one for sure. But lots of fun, and they did some really great stuff with that I think other games have picked up since then, including all the games in 2015.
Let's move.
All right. Man, lots of good ones. There's Pandemic Legacy Season 1, where we got the first Legacy action. Oh, wait, did they have? Yeah, it was one, right?
Yeah.
That was their first Pandemic Legacy.
Yep, that was a fun one. Seven Wonders Duel is a great two-player game. That's And I think that kind of maybe set the standard for a lot of great two-player games to come after that.
Definitely.
And then you've got, of course, is Blood Rage on the list? What?
It's number 3.
It is number 3.
Okay.
That is correct.
Well,
is this list in number order?
No, but Blood Rage sort of started the trilogy of games from CMON, Blood Rage, Rising Sun, and then one that actually is just about coming out this summer, The Ankh. So,
yeah.
So all the different...
Yep, I know lots of people that are a huge fan of that game. I mean, I enjoy it as well, but I think that one has one of the, I would say, like, first cult followings in recent board gaming history-ish, maybe. Yep. Man, this is a fun list.
Yeah, Codenames. I mean, that game...
Setting another standard,
like, launched into
the
mass market, almost.
Well, it put CGE on the map. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Codenames is...
Well, and I feel like that was also, and maybe there are definitely other ones on this list, but... One of the few games that you started seeing, like, beside Monopoly and Scrabble in every Walmart and Target that you went to. It was like, wait, this is a real game.
Yeah.
Someone was saying, they're like, oh, I don't play a lot of games, but I was home with family at some point. I was pulled out Codenames, or I saw Codenames and played it. It's like, that's a good game. I was like, yeah, it is.
We know the secrets. Yeah, some other fun ones on here, too, since I'm going to just keep talking, I guess.
Potion Explosion.
There you go. Thank you for jumping in.
Tricarion is definitely one of mine. Time Stories. Good stuff.
Time Stories.
I mean, we made our own expansion for it.
They loved it that much.
And you can't forget Exploding Kittens.
Or you can.
I put it on the list as being kind of influential because
it
did cross the barriers.
Yeah,
and it's...
for sure.
And speaking of the game face-to-face, look.
Yes, the game.
I saw that on there. Yep, 2015. Doesn't seem like it was. I don't really know. I heard somebody say this yesterday. They were like, I think of 2000 as being like 10 years ago, and then 1990 like 10 years ago. I don't even know how long ago 2015 feels. 5 years ago doesn't feel.
Well, it feels like the game was just like a couple years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
5 years. I don't know if that's a long time or not anymore. I can't tell. I've lost reference. Big Book of Madness is in there. I always enjoyed the art for that one. That's a super fun one. Yeah, a lot of good ones in the 15s.
Cool.
What are some of you guys' favorites from the 16s?
Well, I still haven't played Terraforming Mars.
What? I've never played it. We need to teach you Terraforming Mars.
Have you played Great Western Trail?
No.
Which one do you like better, Kevin?
I've only played half a game of Western Trail, and I think I would enjoy Western Trail, but after hearing many, many different views and reviews of Western Trail, I think I still like Terraforming Mars better.
Very solid, very solid.
But I'd like to play Western Trail a whole game.
Great Western Trail.
Thank you, Great Western Trail.
Brian, what are your thoughts on Mechs versus Minions?
It's good.
It's good.
I think I started a campaign of that with Blummer, actually, and then we never got
Blummer? Been a long time.
We didn't get Ryan's bad thing for 2015.
Yeah, I had some, but I figured we were just passing over.
No, tell us.
Nobody likes negative.
His bad things? No, we want it. Rewind. Yeah, rewind to the bad things.
Tell us for 2015. Yeah. What was it?
So put on our what are bad much. Colored glasses
it was time
called?
Stories? It always bothered me that they force you to fail. I don't think you can actually play through
the first time on most of them
having a reset.
So in the new Blue Box series,
oh, you can
designed by
no
Kevin
resets.
And Melissa.
No resets.
Right. See, that's cool.
Good job fixing it, you guys.
Yeah, I didn't like that you were forced into failing the first time. There really wasn't a way.
I
to
felt
do
that
it.
Pain, Ryan, and we made a whole game just for you.
Cool. You guys are true friends.
Yeah. All right, back to 2016. Sorry. Scythe is probably the game that helped Tantrum House a lot because that video that I made about Scythe, and we had knew nothing about it. I'm like, I'm just going to talk about this game that looks really cool. And it got like thousands of views.
Got us on the map.
It was your first Kickstarter video.
It's sort of, yeah, for my first, I'm like, I'm just going to do this. And Will's like, okay, just go for it, Kevin.
Yeah,
like,
it looks good
like,
to you. Huh?
No one knew. All we had was some like art pieces. And like, this looks like an
they
amazing
were cool
dream.
Pieces of art.
Right,
for
I know.
Sure.
And people were just eating it up at that point back in 2016. And I think that really...
The launch.
It was good. It was good.
Yeah, good foresight on that one. 2016 also brought us Captain Sonar, one of my other favorite top games of all time.
Us the Exit games. So this was the first year that a lot of the escape room games started coming out.
After Time Stories. Time Story was sort of the grandfather for all
true.
Of them.
Oh, sure. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Yeah. We also saw Role Player, which led to... basically Thunderworks like being on the map as well, and they put out a lot of awesome games that I'm assuming will hit up the next several years because Role Player was a lot of fun.
I know a lot of people love the Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle deck building game.
Yes, I've really enjoyed that. I know Amy and because Amy likes it, Larry likes Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle. There were quite a few deck building games in 2016. We have Clank Deck Building Adventure. We have Mystic Veil. I really enjoyed the innovation with that game. It had the clear cards that you would put into the sleeves to craft your cards
Happy
in your
salmon.
Deck.
I was gonna say that too. I was like waiting for a moment to jump in. My favorite deck builder, Happy Salmon.
I mean, it sort of is.
It's like the opposite of a deck builder.
It's like a hand.
It's a shuffling
deck thrasher.
Nice. Cavern Tavern will.
Yeah. I actually just I need Jonah here again. I just lent that to him. He hadn't played it yet. I was like, oh, you gotta try this one. Great game.
Oh, King Domino, that one has some staying power. It's become very popular.
Ryan, did you ever try Seafall? Because you could definitely
have
a negative.
Oh,
it's
a good opportunity.
You could totally be negative. Yeah. I could be negative for you if you don't have anything in 2016.
Yeah, I remember at the con where that came out, seeing people with it. Like every elevator, every escalator, every sidewalk. There was always somebody
really
with
cool.
Seafall.
Like, it was supposed to be the first legacy game that was not like connected to an already established game like Risk or Pandemic or things like that. So it failed miserably.
Seafell.
So here's the thing. If you want me, I'll give it.
Put on your Ryan hat.
I'm going to put my Ryan hat on real quick. Here's the thing about this game. It did have a really interesting story. There was some narrative things going on. What happened was, and it was created by Rob Davio, who did a lot of these other Legacy games, so he understood how Legacy worked. The problem was it didn't unfold fast enough, so people were getting, not bored, but just like frustrated with what was going on because it took you so long to get to a certain point, and that at that point you're like, why continue on? It's not moving. The story is not like moving fast enough for us. So if he had, I think, shortened that a little bit, because there is, we opened some boxes later in the campaign just to see, because we just stopped after like game 6 or 8. And if we had gone like 2 or 3 games more, there are some really interesting mechanics to the game, but we just got too frustrated.
It's kind of like the Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Which we'll talk about after the episode.
I knew, because I kept looking at that. I was like, it visually looked cool. Yes. It looked interesting.
Yes.
And I knew there was a problem before I really saw many reviews. But when you look on Amazon and it's listed for like $70 and it's being sold regularly for $20,
you know there's something going on.
You could probably get that game for $10 now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easily.
But everything I saw was like, oh, 6 or 7, you're probably going to get bored with that, and I'd rather not.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Any other negative things for 2016?
No, not as good as that.
Okay.
So, all right, let's move your negativity into 2017.
I want to give a shout out.
Oh.
Kanagawa.
Yeah?
We already mentioned Role Player, and Imhotep, I think, was a great game.
There we go. Yeah.
Ryan does beat me every time at Imhotep, just give him credit where credit's due.
That's why I had to bring it up.
As you should.
Nice.
All right.
2017 brought some fun games to the table as well, including one of the games that me and Sarah thoroughly enjoy, and I know Ryan enjoys it as well, Number 9, which is a puzzle stacking tile game.
This list is getting longer and longer each year.
It is. It is.
We're going to have to condense some.
Yeah.
For sure. So everybody pick one favorite. That's all you get.
Good.
What's your favorite 2017 game? You only get one.
My favorite, while Melissa decides what her two favorites are.
Her one and her honorable mention.
That's right. My favorite would be Azul.
Okay, great one.
Because not only is it a really, really good game, I love all the expansions that are coming out with it from it as well. I think I heard that Azul has sold over 2 million copies already.
Wow. Awesome.
Which is amazing for it only being out 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
so
that's incredible.
Not knowing the rest and just going off this list, I would pick Quest for El Dorado. I've really enjoyed that game.
Cool.
All right. This pains me. I'm going to go with Anachrony.
Ooh, all right.
I love the worker placement in it, and it's really fun and interesting.
Cool expansions.
Beautiful.
And then I'm going to go with Whistle Stop.
As your honorable mention.
Yes. They're both high in my heart.
Whistle Stop is a really fun game.
Yep.
Ryan?
I think Number 9, we already mentioned it. That's probably my favorite. But if I had to give a runner-up, probably New York Slice. That was a lot of fun. Okay. I really enjoyed our event.
And what's your negative for 2017?
It's not that in-depth. I felt like Century Spice Road was overhyped.
What?
I played it.
So here's the thing. What was overhyped for me?
It was that great.
the expansions, right? Like they have the different games that come after it. I agree. I think I liked Century the best.
Yeah. I like it better than Splendor.
Me too.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, it's probably just the expansions.
I'm with you.
But
they hyped up this trilogy, and I like the first game was the best game.
Yep.
But now I associate that overhype with the whole series.
Oh, really?
Overshadows
it. Overhyped.
Dan?
Did
you give your game?
Yeah.
Quest for El Dorado. Sorry.
I mean, I think you got to mention Gloomhaven just because it's Gloomhaven.
We can mention that.
And then I think Sarah's favorite would probably be Sagrada.
Okay, cool.
From the list.
And you know,
and Near and Far.
And My Little Scythe.
And you know, Sagrada Legacy is coming out to Kickstarter sometime.
Sagrada Legacy?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Sometime later this year.
I missed that memo.
Oh, good.
Now we all know. Excellent job. All right. So 2018, here we come. Lots of great games in there, including Everdell, which just had their huge campaign to finish off their fourth expansion.
Yep. As well as a bunch of cool
stuff. You know what's interesting about 2018?
it feels like yesterday.
Well, not only that, but 2018 is the first year that Tantrum House did their top favorite games.
Oh, is that when it all started for us? Ranking of games?
Ranking our top favorite games from that year is 2018. And
so
I remember us
video.
Being in Ben's basement.
Yeah.
We're like, what are we going to do? It was you, me. I don't know if Ryan and Katie could have joined us. Maybe Farron
I think. Yeah.
It,
I think
it was
just
the
four of us.
Just the four of us. Because I think Ryan and Katie had baby. Farron was being born or something like that. Was that about that time? 2018?
And then we rock, paper, scissored over what order we would actually put our
Favorite
games
only that,
in.
But we're like, we can't talk about 40 games. So we,
right.
So we like really went really fast for the first five or something like that. I don't remember. And then it was really weird.
It was weird. But fun times. We'll go watch it and see how crazy it was.
So you can see some of our favorites on that video.
There you go.
There you go. You don't even have to listen to us talk about War Chest or Coimbra or...
It was War Chest in 2018.
Yeah.
I've held out for a long time,
guys.
You've
been holding out for 2-3 whole years.
This is amazing. All right. My top game would either be Space Base or Rising Sun. Those are my top two from 2018.
Very solid choices.
I'm not going to go with the top one just because I don't know right now, but... I'm picking out The Mind simply because that was like the beginning of my journey to being a journeyman because we went to Mega Moose Con.
I remember this.
With Blummer.
Yep, I know where this is going.
Yeah, so we went to Mega Moose Con. We spent the day playing games, and then we were before we left, we were like, oh, there's a Waffle House, and it was what, 12:30
right,
in the morning?
It was already super late, and we were like, do we just need to get home? We were like, at this point.
Yeah. So we hopped into Waffle House and brought The Mind, and we're sitting there playing this game, not talking, because you can't talk in The Mind, and the Waffle House staff are like, what?
What are these guys doing?
But it was a lot of fun, and then we had this conversation about what the heck does an intern do with board gaming, and the rest is history.
This is a good time. It was a really good time.
Very cool.
I definitely remember like being worried that the waffle grease and syrup was going to ruin my new deck
for
of cards
sure.
that we were playing with.
I want to give a shout out to Chronicles of Crime.
Ooh,
really
cool.
Enjoy that one, and I've enjoyed all the expansions that they've been
putting
out.
Yeah, the newest one, Chronicles of Crime 1900, is just coming to stores now. So,
and looks amazing.
Yes. Cool.
They've definitely improved, like, even the simple tweaks they've made to their card layouts, like the way they present the QR codes. I'm like, man, this keeps getting better and better.
I agree.
Thunderstone Quest.
Bum, bum, bum.
You're negative? You're negative? Thunderstone Quest?
It is, because I still haven't finished getting all of my Kickstarter stuff.
Whoops.
Really? You still haven't gotten it?
There's lots of expansion stuff that they've released on Kickstarter.
And this is from AEG?
Yeah.
And they haven't delivered?
No, they're still delivering stuff.
Wow.
They've done
still
like
working
two more expansion
I think they are more Kickstarters.
Oh,
not from 2018.
Not from the first Kickstarter.
But gotcha. It got me
it's
into
not
this,
in his hands yet.
It's gotcha.
This addiction of buying Thunderstone Quest on Kickstarter, and now I can't get my fix. Come on.
I'm waiting, sitting here.
Oh, wow. This was the year Disney Villainous came out, too. That has
all those expansions. Wow.
Been so many expansions from that. And then one that I really enjoy is Between Two Castles of Mad King Ludwig.
Very cool.
Very cool.
2019 feels like it was basically this past year, right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, we skipped 2020.
All right. So Wingspan, of course, came out 2019.
Parks.
A bunch of fun ones
Parks
on this
list. Parks was 2019.
I think my favorite would probably be Lord of the Rings, Journeys in Middle-earth. Who has actually played that here?
Not me.
Ryan, you played a couple episodes.
I started playing, but then the Estrellas decided to have a baby.
Dan, have you played it?
I have not.
It is
we should try
amazing.
It.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
I think you'd enjoy it. Will
you? Oh, for sure.
Will you probably enjoy it?
I think I would. I'm a fan.
Tainted Grail is pretty amazing, too. Just saying.
I'm looking at the fact that The Crew came out in 2019. I guess maybe that was like in Europe or something.
So,
yeah, we put it on our 2020
because it came out, but no one had access to it. Because
I was really like, the years are definitely colliding at this point. Like, I was like, I feel like this is brand new. What is Parks came out in 2019. I do remember that. Beautiful game. Tiny Towns is a 2019 game.
I think Cartographers beats Tiny Towns for me, but they're both like up there.
Okay.
In
replayability.
Yeah.
Land.
In how often I could play them. Especially since Katie really likes both of them.
Do you have a negative for 2019?
I'll have to think about it.
Okay.
I started losing my negativity as we got near. See, I started losing hold of my grudges. just forgiving people.
It's just not enough time has gone by for you to form these deep set.
You probably have a negative thing with Wingspan, right? Something negative.
Give me something give me something on Sanctum, because I actually...
It's overrated.
Oh, here we go.
Wingspan, there you go. All right, I'll take it.
Negative thing.
Overrated Wingspan.
I think it's overrated a little. I enjoyed it, but it was another one of those that I think it had been...
Hyped
up for sure. So much. And then I finally played it, and I was like, oh, this is a good game.
It didn't change my life.
I don't think I need to play it again. Well,
you didn't become an avid bird watcher like 90% of the other players.
I think what Wingspan does for the hobby is bring a lot more players into the hobby, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
More 2019 games. You can watch our videos. The guys did a video, and
that's the first time we split up.
The competition.
The competition started in 2019 with the girls versus the guys. Oh,
did they kill us? They crushed us the first year, right?
No. We were close in
viewers.
I think we might have beaten them in views or something. It was a close one.
It was pretty close.
It was pretty close. And then 2020 hit. And Will did
pulled
shenanigans.
Out all the stops.
Pulled out all the stops. We'll see what happens next year. We'll see what happens. Definitely.
Yeah, I have faith in you guys.
Because we were saying that the girls get to go first. No.
They went first.
Did they go first?
Yeah. But then they kind of promoted our video for us.
Yes. Well, we didn't know the format the guys were going to take. So our video for 2020 was longer. And the guys put a... very, very nice giveaway into their
very nice.
So a contest.
Four giveaways. Yeah. Four
shenanigans.
Yeah. We'll let the guys go
you
first.
You start
this
brainstorming
year.
Now, and we'll.
There. And then the girls. We can promote the girls' video this time. How's that sound in 2021?
All right. So did we make it to 2020?
We did.
Is that where we're at
the
right
final,
now?
Final year of the decade.
Final year of the decade. You've got Calico, which Sarah would definitely be shouting right now as her favorite game. Dwellings of Eldervale was a very cool
one. Mm-hmm. Lost Ruins of Arnak.
Oh, I probably put that in my top two or three. Yep.
Lost Ruins, really? I need to play that one. I haven't played it yet. Super good.
A prototype.
All right. I'll have to give that one a shot. Raiders of Scythia is a pretty nicely polished game that I very thoroughly enjoyed.
That would probably be my negativity one.
Would it? Did you get to play it?
No, I just don't like the art.
Oh, really? You don't?
It's a style. It's just a personal opinion.
As much as I love the Micho, I actually kind of like the look of this better than Raiders of whatever the other Raiders is called.
The North Sea.
The Raiders of the North Sea, yeah.
It's just me.
Interesting. All right, cool.
It's too...
What do you think of the cover for Etherfields?
Oh, yeah. Etherfields is pretty fun with the...
transparency looking box. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's like the coolest box.
Yep. Ryan's ever. Negative for 2020.
Say Santa Monica. Say that you hate Santa Monica.
I haven't played Santa Monica.
Oh, okay.
I have not played Santa Monica.
I actually have not played Santa Monica. It was on all of the ladies' lists, but I hadn't played it yet.
It's fun. It's super fun.
I was surprised at how good Fallout Shelter, the board game,
oh, that
was.
Little tin box?
Yeah. I mean, because it's based on an IP, which is – it's based on an app based on a video game. Like, it's just – so far removed from what I would think would be a
based
quality
on an internet
idea,
comic.
But it's actually really good. I've played the app. It's better than the app. I've played the game. I don't know that it's better than the game. It's a different experience.
Right.
It's a better board game than if you tried to directly adapt Fallout into a board game.
Well, you can definitely check out more 2020 games, unless Melissa wants to throw a couple more in there on our top 10 videos.
Well, I was going to say that of the West Kingdom trilogy, I liked Viscounts the best, and that came out 2020.
Viscounts is very
My biggest complaint is I feel like world events conspired against me playing enough games in 2020. I don't know if the same thing happened to you guys, but it just seemed like there was a lot going on.
It was a busy time.
Yeah,
it's hard to play group games for sure. Although I think I missed Wavelength. I was going to mention that one. I don't even know year that was.
2018, I think.
Somewhere in there.
Might have been there.
Good job.
Sorry.
Everybody likes it, but not colorblind people.
Wait, Wavelength?
No, that's using keys.
Using keys. Maybe colorblind people also don't like Wavelength.
Well, I don't. So there's
that. Wavelength is nothing to do with colors, but that's okay.
I got confused.
Although it sounds like it because colors have Wavelength.
Using keys.
Stuff like that. Cool. All right. Well, I feel like we rolled through the decades pretty successfully there. Thank you guys for tuning in. Stick around for the end of the show if you want to hear our thoughts on some TV show things. That's about it. Bye.
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 Stay with us after the episode.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.
Blood on the shield? What?
That was very visceral. Very visceral.
Yes. Made me feel things. I was glad.
So that was episode 4, right?
The ending of episode four.
And then there was episode 5.
Let's start with 4.
Start with 4. Do we actually need to talk about 3 or just skip it to 4?
Did we not talk 3? I don't even know.
We did. Thank you.
So I still felt the same thing where the storyline was moving a little slow. I'm still not really believing everything that's going on, but I did feel like at least the wrap up for episode 4 was very like believable. And like, I could put myself in his shoes. My friend just got murdered and now I'm going for vengeance. And then why does everybody have their cell phones on? But oh gosh, you can't do that to the shield. Like you are the Captain America. Where are your standards?
Yeah,
it was good. It was a good ending.
Steve Rogers would have never done that.
Right.
Well, he was on the serum, man.
Does it make you more angry?
I mean,
it makes you more of who you are.
Yeah. Oh, that's what
Didn't they say something like that?
Yeah.
I do recall that. That's a true thing.
Side bit, the actor that plays Captain America, I didn't know that he was Kurt Russell's son.
Oh, didn't know that either.
Yeah, other Marvel villain.
What?
Whoa.
Did we see that?
Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh.
He was destined, apparently.
He is destined.
Interesting.
This one, I enjoyed it, but I definitely felt like it was predictable. Like, okay.
You knew he was going to
go. Yeah, Falcon's going to go in there. Captain America's going to get short-tempered and run in and cause all this. And then as soon as you see the vials drop, it's like, okay, one's going to be left somehow.
We all knew that.
Yeah, so, I mean.
But I wasn't sure who was getting it. And then, oh, yeah, he got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you feel Zemo is a believable character, Ryan?
I
think we talked about it last time that
he's got more stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, people are like, Zemo's definitely a mood. You know, like I feel that.
Did you guys see Disney? I think even put together like a 1-hour loop of him dancing in the club.
Disney did it.
People called out for it. They're like, we need more of Zemo dancing. They're like, okay, here's the full clip. And here's an hour-long version of it.
What?
They embraced it. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That is kind of funny.
What kind of cool behind-the-scenes stuff did we miss, Ryan? Tell us the comic history.
The Easter eggs, yeah.
Anything cool?
I don't know. It's been so long. It's been like a week.
Is this
episode 4?
Well, I already did five in my mind.
We can do 5, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know as much about the U.S. agent, but I don't think him making his own shield's going to do much for him. I mean, it's not vibranium. It's just like
Has anybody else watched Forged in Fire? It ain't going to work. His shield is going to be trash. Anybody who knows anything knows you got to pack that cinder in the middle. I don't know what it's called, but
I will say with episode 5, I know you guys have been like, it's so slow, like the series, and I haven't been on that train. Episode 5, I felt like this is an hour? Like what? What are we doing for an hour? This is killing me. And I get they're trying to, you know, introduce some drama and have all that. I was thinking of the Netflix, like Daredevil and some of those shows. They had a lot of drama in Daredevil, but it was paced really well. They packed a lot of content into it. It didn't have to be flying action, but I just felt like it was slogging through episode 5.
In episode 5, did he lose his wings in episode 5?
Yeah, ripped him off.
So, you know, he's looking into the box. We don't know what's in the box. We assume it's...
What's in the box?
What's in the box? Is it new wings?
I would assume new wings. Maybe like
it's a Captain America.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Wings?
Right?
That would be cool.
I hope it's just straight up Captain America.
Uniform or something.
My guess was that it was basically like an Iron Man suit that looked like Captain America. That was going to be my guess.
In that little box?
It's coming from Wakanda.
I mean, you saw him, like, Iron Man can make his entire outfit out of, like, a backpack nowadays, so.
Speaking of Wakanda, that move that the Lady of Wakanda.
With the spear thing?
On to Bucky with hit his arm off.
Oh, yeah.
That was hilarious. Like, boom, boom.
Did you know it could do that?
It's like, deactivate.
Makes sense.
Fell off. And he didn't have a good response, did he?
No, but he put it back on pretty easily. That was nice. I thought he was going to just carry it around for a while. I don't know what was going to happen after that. Yeah, ripped his wings off. That fight scene was pretty great. I enjoyed that whole choreography as they were beating each other up. I also thought they do a very good job of balancing it. Like, the Falcon is not a super soldier, and so he's trying to, like, you know, backpack out of there and, like, swing at him with his wing. And he tries to, like, kick him one time. It doesn't do anything. I thought they do a good job of, like, you know, yeah, like, the super soldiers punch each other and can take it, but if you punch a normal dude, he's flying across the room.
Yeah, it kind of bothers me that he doesn't have superpowers or, like, many gadgets or whatever.
I think he's okay with it.
I mean, he's got his wings, but...
They're cool wings.
He's been doing a lot in the show without the wings. I'm just like, he's just a guy.
Yeah. I think they've done a good job with him. It bothered me that, like, normal John Walker can throw the... But I guess now he can too, so maybe I shouldn't be bothered by it.
Sort of, though. I mean, that's the thing that jumped out at me in this episode was they're chilling out in the back 40... throwing this shield around Bucky and Falcon catching it like it's no big deal. They're just playing catch.
Well,
but then he goes to train and he's just missing everything.
That was a little weird. Like,
what happened?
Were these off sequence? Right. Did you tell them out of order? And like,
yeah,
I didn't pay attention. Maybe Bucky was throwing it and he was catching it.
They were throwing it to each other.
Yeah, it felt like more like a catch. They were throwing catch, and then it's like, now you're trying to train hard. Maybe. I don't know.
Did you notice that Bucky, at the beginning of the series, he slept on the floor and he woke up with nightmares alone and, like, on edge. And then at this last episode, he's sleeping on the couch. He wakes up and there's people around and smiling.
Character development.
Because of the kids.
Yeah, because of the kids.
Oh, and Sarah. Definitely Sarah.
Yeah,
because they're flirting.
That's all you need for happiness.
I do want to know what's going on with, is it Sarah Carter?
Sharon Carter. Yeah, she's definitely the power broker. They didn't emphasize it enough, but it's clear she hired that French guy and then he showed up later and he's like, hey, I'm here to help you destroy a bunch of people. Here's some weapons.
What about the other girl that came to talk to?
The Contessa.
Elaine.
Yeah, Elaine.
From Seinfeld.
With his huge earrings that kept getting in the way.
I think that's definitely like straight from the comic books. They were like, give her the same giant earrings.
Yeah. I feel like they should have touched on that again.
Is she the power broker?
On her earrings?
No, I think she's like...
She's the U.S. agent
person. I don't think she's Hydra. I think the U.S. agent gets tied up with somebody like called the council or something. And I think she's probably tied up with that.
That was my assumption. I don't know what their organization is called, but
in tune with it.
But it cracked me up when she walked on screen. Like, she will only always be Elaine.
Yeah. I wanted to have more about that, like in an after credits scene or something. But
ooh,
no.
I didn't watch it. Did I miss any after credits?
Yes, there was an after credits.
There was a mid credits with the U.S. agent.
Where you made the shield?
Yeah.
I did see that.
We all saw that part.
I didn't see that. I'm gonna have to go find that.
It's literally just him like hitting a hammer
a shield
on
and
some
he
metal.
Tests it out on people walking by. He's like, can I get this one bloody? Yes,
it works.
Shield.
Okay,
it's like the least believable forging scene I've ever seen. Is what it was.
There's only
forged
one
in blood.
Oh,
blood rage. There is one episode left.
Yep,
I can't even imagine them wrapping anything up in one episode.
I'm curious.
It's going to be another all drama episode, Dan.
Dan's on the grown train now. Love it.
I want to know, like, I feel like we dropped his list. I know Nemo.
Oh, yeah, the list.
Zemo mentioned it once or twice. But
I would love to have had the whole thing be about that list.
Yeah.
I actually assumed that one. Now that I remember back, I assumed that was going to be the thing that was driving the whole show.
I think that would have been cool. Oh, well. Reminds me about the Loki trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope that the trailer is what the show is going to be about, with him going into time travel to different places.
Do we know how many? Okay, so first off, we have one more episode of this coming Friday, and then how long before
June? I think
June
isn't June. We're looking. Well, so while you guys keep talking, I'll look it up real quick.
And then I really hope we can get a series that's ongoing. Like, hopefully the Loki one is not just this one season
right.
thing.
Yeah,
do we know
nice.
What the forecast is on that?
I don't.
June 11th.
I need like at least 3 years of Loki.
I love that Owen Wilson's in it, and just that shot in the trailer where he's like,
great.
"I've literally studied your life, and you have literally stabbed people in the back 50 times."
Like, and he's like, "But the next change,
but the next time, but the yeah. next time."
That was crazy. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You mentioned it a little bit ago, Daredevil. I would say that Daredevil is one of my favorite TV series of Marvel stuff. Like, they did an incredible job of character development and storytelling. I haven't really felt that. Even though WandaVision was a great series, and we all enjoyed it and we watched through it, I didn't feel like it was going to be a series. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we knew it was going to be so short, and so I was like, oh, I only got 4 more episodes to enjoy of this. Daredevil, I was like waiting every season. Come back. Give me more good stuff.
Yeah. Did you guys see the latest trailer for, what is it, Shang-Chi?
I've not seen any of the trailers.
The Legend of the Ten Rings.
Is this another Disney Plus show?
It's good.
No, it's going to be a movie. Yeah. In September.
Oh, it's going to be a movie.
It looks
a
super Marvel movie. Good.
Okay, so Black Widow comes out in May still, right?
Yeah.
No, we don't know.
I feel like that's...
Pretty sure it's May, so I think...
That's what I heard.
I think it was already supposed to be out, and there was supposed to be a Falcon and Winter Soldier cameo in there.
I heard that.
And they had to, like, reschedule stuff. I don't know.
I heard that as well. I was trying to avoid spoilers on Facebook, and then I saw something about... That spoiler.
Black
and then
Widow
I didn't even see it in the show. And I was like, what?
Black Widow is now July 9th.
July.
On Disney Plus.
May, June, July. That's further.
Wow. Whole world turned upside down.
Yep.
Everything.
Can we wait? Good thing we have Mighty Ducks Game Changers.
Let's move to that. So I think we're on episode 4 now.
That's what I just watched. Yep. Have been having a good time watching it with the kids. I asked them last night. So
did they watch any of the movies?
They did. We watched all 3 movies.
Oh, good.
And when we first started the movies, I was like, okay, we're going to watch Mighty Ducks tonight. And they were like, this sounds like a dumb cartoon. And I was like, it's not a cartoon at all. Get on board. Come on. So then when I told them that the series was on, I started the Mighty Ducks cartoon just to throw them off. And they were just sitting there like dumbfounded, like, what are we watching? And about 10 minutes in, I was like, just kidding. This is not really what I wanted to watch. Although if you guys want to watch it, I'm up for it.
I'm trying to remember the cartoon. Was it actually like...
Ducks.
And you had like the big beefy ducks.
You got it. Yeah. And they played hockey and they also saved the world from evil dragons. But the world was also just people. So they were the only ducks, which was the weird part. Anyway, side rabbit duck trail.
Duck trail.
Watched episode 4 and I was asking them last night, so what do you guys think of the show? And they were like, it's okay. They were like, the action in this one is not as good as in the movies, which in the movies, it's like 80% of the show is them on the ice.
Right.
And this one is a lot more like recruiting your friends at school, talking to your mom, maybe getting a girlfriend, you know.
I feel like there's more funny things going on in the TV show.
Right. There is. And it's very much more like a normal weekly television show instead of an action movie. Right. But the funny thing is I actually recorded their reactions because they do this every time. They're always like, ho-hum about something that we're doing halfway through, but then at the end they'll be like, that was so amazing, that was the best thing ever. So I want to compare and contrast
cool.
when
okay.
I get to the end. Cool. You guys been watching it? You enjoyed it?
Yes, I think Ryan and Dan have not been watching it. Okay, so Melissa and I and Will will talk about this and then we'll close the show out. How's that sound?
It sounds like a plan.
So I think we're going to talk about episodes 3 and 4.
Sure.
Because I think we did 1 and 2 last time.
Yeah.
So 3 and 4. So 3 was... Ooh,
is that where they play their first game?
Yeah, their first game.
I think they play their first game in the third one, right? They played the Cardinals. That's all I remember.
Oh, they played the Cardinals in two.
And in 3, they played the Ducks.
Right.
And then
they lose terribly, of course.
But they got a goal.
They did get their first goal off of a play written by Gordon Bombay.
You see his like tough exterior starting to crack.
Yes.
The whole time, I've enjoyed his acting in the show has been great because you can tell that he and the fact that they've unwrapped the history too, which is really nice. So we finally know that he played and he went on to college and coached in college. And then this is all spoilers, so I can say all this at this point.
Right.
And then he actually did the same thing that I think like an OSU coach did not too long ago, where he gave money to a student who needed some money to buy some equipment, which is illegal, which I did know only because it happened to the Buckeyes a while back. And so they ended his coaching career, and then the Ducks went on to be coached by jerks, and now he hates hockey and never wants to play again, except – he sees these poor kids that need help, and he can't resist being a good guy.
I like where it's going. I mean, I know it's predictable, but I still enjoy seeing it happen. The trying to get Sophie on the team.
And the way it worked out, actually.
Right. In episode 3, it's like she saw that the ducks were...
a family.
They saw that the ducks were...
They are jerks.
They're
jerks.
Right?
It's hard for me to keep track of who's jerks and who's good.
They're jerks. And so he's like, I'm going to join Don't Bother, which is still a whole...
The worst name ever.
The worst name ever. It's like, you couldn't... Come on, you got to think of a better dumb name. Right? A better dumb name.
Right. I think that's their whole point, which I guess is great. I do... So one of the reasons I started watching this is because watching Cobra Kai was such a great nostalgia trip where they did all the flashbacks and all the references. Mm-hmm. This show really doesn't have that.
No.
After the first episode where he was a cake eater, which cracked me up, I thought maybe they were going to do more of it, and they haven't really.
Yeah, but we don't know.
Right, and they could, but one of the best parts about the original Mighty Ducks was all their crazy plays, like the knuckle puck and the flying V and all that stuff. So I loved that, like, I was delighted to watch them do his play. You know, the kid falls on the puck, and then the goalie secretly snags it and then passes it to the guy who nonchalantly travels down the ice while everyone's looking at the other kid. And then he shoots it in, and it's amazing, and it works. And you're like, I can be on board for watching this show. If they're going to pull off goofy plays that make no sense and would never work in real life but work perfectly in the video, I'm on board.
I was trying to think the episode 4. So here's the thing, but we haven't. So episode 4, there was no game other than the matchup between the moms,
right?
Which was interesting to see,
right? And unrealistic, but fine. It was,
right, like she went from 23 miles an hour to 41. 41. Because of anger,
right? The pecan pie was funny, but not effective. It shouldn't have been that effective. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where the show goes and how many seasons of Mighty Ducks Game Changers we'll get. But I've been having a good time so far.
I want to say that Coob, the goalie on Don't Bother, Coob was like on some other show, like on America's Got Talent or something, because he sings.
Oh yeah, he did a great job in the show.
And I'm thinking that voice, was he actually like on some like America's Got Talent show? And does that sound familiar to you, Melissa?
Oh, maybe.
Okay.
I didn't Google it. It's worth checking out. Could be true. If you are watching Winter Soldier or if you're watching Game Changers, then maybe shoot us an email or something. Let us know what your thoughts are on how things are progressing and where you think things will wrap up. What do you think is in the box? What kind of uniform or something is the Falcon getting? And then be sure to tune in again in 2 weeks where we'll have another full episode of all kinds of great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us today.
I think in the box, it's just a mirror. It shows him he's all he needs.
Oh, it's so good.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.